Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. The holidays are finally here, and personally, I couldn't be more happy about it. I am currently preparing another mailing that should go out to each one of you in the next 2 weeks. Everyone seemed to like what I mailed out last year, so I am hoping you enjoy these tokens of thank you. I hope each of you and your loved ones are remaining healthy and happy. As we finish off 2020, I am working on different Little House in the Prairie projects, as well as a few other things that I hope you will enjoy. As I write out the plan for 2021, I am reminded of a quote from Mike Rowe. I'm looking forward to the future and feeling grateful for the past. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. David Webb, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Rebecca Frederick, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Anne Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Sue Ingalls Wilder, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Laura Solarin, Cheyenne Sanderson, Kelly Milkey, Alicia, Rachel Boren, Kim and Jack Lair, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Ginny Comer, Ginny Schneider Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Julia Monin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman and Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place. You are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I decided to start this a little differently today because that is just the most memorable singing moment in all of Little House on the Prairie, in my opinion. Today, I have Kelly Milkey on again, returning to the show. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Awesome. I am excited to review this episode with you. This was an episode that was released on Halloween of 1977, October 31st, 1977. You have an opportunity to release an episode on Halloween. I don't know. You choose an episode that has nothing to do with Halloween. Strange, right?
It is kind of unusual. It hadn't really occurred to me that it was Halloween even. I looked at the date and I didn't even like put it together. Yeah.
But yeah, October 31st, 1977. It's the episode To Run and Hide. And it's a very interesting episode. We see a lot. This is a very memorable episode, but I don't remember it being in heavy rotation when I was first watching this as a kid.
Right. It's exactly the same for me. I really didn't remember this episode, honestly, until maybe, I don't know, the last year or two when I was, you know, streaming Little House or whatever and came across it. And I'm like, I don't know that I even remember this one. And then lately, it seems like I've seen it a lot. So, like, it's actually really grown on me, my appreciation of it. And yeah. It is nice to have a Doc Baker-focused episode because those are always fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely this is for the people who want to see Doc Baker trying to step away and do something else. It, I don't know. I say we jump right into some of the clips. I think there's a lot to discuss here. It's also grown on me. I think there's a lot of seriousness here, as well as some decent comedy. But
yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this particular episode. But
and it deals with a number of really heavy topics, you know, as we'll get into as we're talking about it. But yeah, there definitely is a lot going on here. It's a lot to absorb. I think the first time you see it, you're kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, completely.
But then you watch it again, and you kind of are like, that's actually a pretty good episode.
Yeah, we open up in the mercantile. Nels is walking in. He's carrying a heavy box, and he asks for some help. But, of course, Harriet is like, well, you know, I don't really want to help. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm not feeling well. And he's basically alluding to that she's never feeling well, really. And then we go to the doctor's office. And we are introduced to Jeb. I think we've seen Jeb a number of times throughout the season.
We definitely have. Yeah. He actually has appeared 7 different times.
Holy moly. Each time
it's a different character. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And this appears to actually be the first time that he's appeared in the series in this episode as Jed.
Mm-hmm.
The next time we'll see him is just 2 episodes later in The High Cost of Being Right, where he's Judge Picker. As well, remember the judge who was presiding over the outrageous laughter.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Someone Please Love Me as someone named Gargan, and I'm not sure I can place that in my mind now.
Me either. That's a weird one.
He was in The Return of Mr. Edwards as a character named Shorty. Once again, I'm not sure I can place that in my head, but I'm sure if I saw the episode in front of me, I might.
Mm.
He's in one of my favorite episodes, The In-Laws, as Cavendish. The guy that Paul gives the ride to.
I think in general, he just seems like the kind of guy who we've seen in a number of different roles, even outside of Little House.
And I think he actually is a pretty common occurrence in the Michael Landon universe because I don't know if you've watched Highway to Heaven at all.
I watched it originally, but I don't remember an episode, actually.
Yeah, so my husband and I just recently, kind of when the whole pandemic started and stuff shut down, we were at home a lot. We're like, so since we watch so much Little House and I like recognize him because he's in there all the time as different people, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's that guy. Like, it's that guy that's like on Little House like 7 times in different characters.
Yeah, and so he's a pretty common, like, I think we can identify him relatively quickly, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Has a very distinctive face. Something
yes.
about it reminds me of one of my cats. And I don't mean that in like a bad way, but like,
how could
like
it be?
Something about his facial expression. It just reminds me of like, I have a cat that's very expressive as well. So I'm like, oh, you kind of look like that. But
so I'm going to play I'm going to play some of his discussion with Doc Baker. And I think that it ends up being something that unfortunately is a solution for too many people. But here we go. That's Nels getting no help whatsoever from Harriet.
Hear them creak? Sound like rusty old hinges, they do.
Well, in a way they are, Jed. Rusty old hinges. The medicine help any?
Some.
And the heat?
Some. Ain't there anything else you can do, Doc?
I'm afraid not, Jed. Old age and hard work. They just take their toll on a body.
I suppose so. And I can't turn the clock back or stop working. Leastwise, if I plan to keep on eating.
Here's some more pills. You just keep taking them.
Oh, thank you, Doc. Some help is keep better than none. And, Doc, I ain't got no cash. Again. But I got a sack of nice, juicy apples for you.
Looks like a bumper crop this year, Jed.
Oh, got apples busting my bins, Doc.
Take care of yourself. Whoop.
So, this is one of the problems, I guess, of being a country doctor. So he hands him some pills, and he sends him on his way. And I think that there's not much he can do. He's probably dealing with something like arthritis or maybe some levels of alcoholism, I think we learn later, right? So, but if we're just going to look at it as something that's just really he's getting older and he's wear to his body, you know, he's just kind of giving him pills. I'm kind of curious what those pills are.
Right. That was my question. Because, I mean, is it just sort of like a placebo type thing or is it an actual
like
drug?
Morphine or codeine or I don't know if codeine was around. But aspirin, I think, was around in this period of time. And that would have, I don't know, it would have helped somewhat. Let's mm-hmm. see, Bayer developed aspirin, are we going to get, in 1853. So it might have been around, but I don't know if he would have been just kind of doling it out for free.
By the bottle.
Yeah. It's like, but then again, it's Doc Baker. You know, he does have a cupboard full of canned goods, peaches, and corn, apparently. I didn't know you could really, I guess, of course, you can can corn. I just didn't know. I never really thought of doing it.
I guess I didn't realize it's something that they would have done in this time period on the prairie. I mean, I know canned goods existed and they used them at the time, but I guess I didn't realize that the farmers would be canning their corn to give to Doc Baker as a payment.
Yeah, maybe they can anything to give to Doc Baker for payment.
That's true. Or I guess maybe they canned it to make it last a long time for the winter or something. I don't know.
Well, I know that they would do that to preserve it regardless. It's just, you know, right. It's an excellent method. But so Harriet comes into the doctor's office because she's having problems. And we have Doc, who just could not be more bored. But at the same time, this is a patient who actually does pay, probably. So he really should give a little bit more attention. But of course, she's just making this up for the most part, probably. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. Here's Harriet talking about her pains.
I don't know exactly how to describe it, Doctor. It's kind of a lightheadedness, I guess.
Anything else?
Yes. Well, it's a heaviness that I feel right here.
I see. Light on the top, heavy in the middle. Is that right?
Yes, that's one way of putting it.
Well, as I remember, last week, Mrs. Olson, it was heavy on the top and light in the middle.
Yes. Do you think it's something serious, Doctor?
Oh, I gave you a complete examination last week, Mrs. Olson. As far as I can tell, you're healthy as a... You're an excellent help, Miss Olson.
It's so funny because, you know, he has to choose his words wisely when you're talking about Harriet, right?
Right, because if he calls her a horse, yeah. He's gonna be like, oh, you think I'm fat.
Right, it's like, who are you calling a horse?
Well, then why do I feel this way, Doctor? Do you want to know what I think?
I'm always interested in a second opinion.
Well, I think that I have exactly what Elmira L'Amour had.
Elmira L'Amour?
Yes. Oh, well, Elmira L'Amour was the heroine of a book that I've just finished. It was called The Ruinous Romance.
I couldn't find this book. I don't think it's real. Have you?
That's funny. I actually didn't even. Sorry, my dog is barking. <That's all right.
laughs> What are you doing to that poor animal?
Dashi, be quiet. The cat just walked by, so he has to, you know, can't let that go without.
You can't walk by me.
Can't let that go without a commentary, I guess. But I didn't even look into the book, which is weird. Normally, I look into stuff like that. But
it could have been just kind of a trashy romance novel of the 19th century, I guess. Maybe it's what
the Penny Dreadfuls.
Yes,
I believe.
Stuff like that, but not even that good.
Of Elmira L'Amour. Now I have the exact same symptoms that she had.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now I think we're getting somewhere. Did they have a name for this affliction?
Oh, yes. They called it the vapors.
The vapors?
Yes. Now, her doctor, that is, Elmira L'Amour's doctor, said that it was caused from injurious exhalations from deep within the recesses of the body. Have you ever heard of the vapors, Doctor?
Oh, yes, I've heard of the vapors, Mrs. Olson. But nowadays they have another name for it.
What?
Gas.
So when I hear the vapors, I think of this, which is... do you know this song?
I don't.
Oh, my God. I'm probably dating it. Yeah, this is... This is a song from Biz Markie from 1988 called The Vapors. And it was a big hit, believe it or not. So I'm going to play a moment of it. Yeah, I'm a child of the 80s, so let me get to the hook of it. I'm trying to talk to this girl named Fran.
The type of female with fly Gucci wear, with big drunk jewelry and extensions in her hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always best talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS. Since he wasn't no type of big drug dealer, my man.
Do you know who Biz Markie is? I mean, I'm just kind of curious if that is, you're maybe not a hip hop fan of the 80s.
Yeah, it's not generally my chosen genre. And while I do listen to a lot of older music, you could say, the 80s has never really been my decade of choice.
Biz Markie is more of like a human beatbox. Like if you look into like the Beastie Boys and stuff like that, he was hanging out with like Slick Rick and Dana Dane and people like that. But I'll just get to the chorus and then abandon this train wreck of of a segment. Brother fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting. I haven't heard this song in a good 30 years, so I don't. At some point, there's a hook. And once, please, dying for the day to get skis. She caught the- this is a 5-minute rap, by the way.
Wow.
She caught the vapors. So there you go. She caught the vapors. When that came out, I was in high school and we're like, what is the vapors? You know, like nobody knew. And we understood it was not gas. So I don't really, I don't know what the vapors are. But of course we understand Doc Baker. You know what? I'm just going to call him Hiram because, you know, he does, spoiler alert, he's going to retire. The bottom line is he might be wrong. I don't know if I could take advice from this man. I don't know if I could trust a man who accepts corn for his medical services.
And just doles out bottles of pills.
Yeah, and hams and turkeys. But, so. Here.
And apparently lets the apples rot even in his closet, as we'll find out later.
Ugh.
Well, really?
Yes, really, Mrs. Olson. Now that we know what's wrong with you, I can prescribe for you. Avoid greasy foods and candy.
Just send the bill to my husband as usual.
So, it's really, he gets a good laugh out of it. We get a little comic relief, a little bit of, I'm surprised he didn't go down the path of menopause. But maybe that's like, it's getting a little more serious at that point. I thought that's the way it was going to go in the later on in the episode, personally.
But it's kind of interesting, because usually when there's, like, a woman of her age,
it's the go-to, right?
Yeah, complaining about not feeling well. And they even had Ma go there twice, right?
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
You're a woman, and you're coming to the age of blah, blah, blah. So we are introduced to Stanley and Beth, who make a very cute couple, right? We learn a lot about them. We have a very rambunctious father-to-be, and I'm just going to play this clip.
Stanley, aren't you working awfully hard for something you can't be sure is going to happen?
What do you mean, not going to happen? Look at you, Beth. 7 months now.
Lost 2 babies.
I told you, Beth, no more talk like that. This time it's going to happen. I know. That's why I fixed room for baby.
I hope you're right.
Beth, you're gonna have big, beautiful, healthy baby!
And he falls off the roof like a dope.
As a small side note before I forget to mention this, sort of circling back to our previous conversation about characters who appear repeatedly.
Yes, I was gonna throw that towards you. Michael Pataki, where do we know this guy from?
He appears in season 6 in the episode Family Tree as Albert's biological father,
He's also in Rocky IV. And that's where I kind of really remember him. He was one of the Russian trainers with Dolph Lundgren. We're bringing everything back to the 80s here, Kelly. This is a real
back. The quintessential 80s episode right here.
Yes. No, but that's where I kind of... I probably saw Rocky IV and thought, that's the guy from Little House on the Prairie. And everyone, all of my friends probably looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? You watch that girl show? And I said, no way. I never watched
it. I saw one episode of it once.
I was forced. All right. So, Stanley falls down. But, where do we know him from? we know him from the Little House on the Prairie universe, but he's also made he's been in everything, really. He's a ton of 80s TV shows, such as T.J. Hooker. He was also in a movie, a movie called Night Shift, The Jeffersons, Laverne and Shirley, Automan. I don't know if you're a fan of Automan, probably not, The Fall Guy, but all of these really kind of big TV shows. And he's just a pretty good character actor. He's just kind of...
Yeah, I think so.
But I like him a lot. I think he's a pretty intense character, but unfortunately this fall ends up not being as light as he would have liked us to think.
A little bit more serious than he let on.
You know, I think it ended up being more serious than they even allowed the viewer to know, because he just kind of shakes it off. But Doc pulls up because Doc's coming to check out his wife, who's pregnant, probably about 7 months pregnant. And here we go.
Sandy just took a bad fall off the roof.
Oh, no, it was stupid. Only small fall.
I better take a look.
Look, what for? It's nothing. It only knocked the wind out.
Stanley, please let Dr. Baker have a look at you.
For you, Beth, I let doctor look. Mm.
How did you land, Stanley?
Face down, boom!
Where's this guy come from? Like, you're in Minnesota, dude. Like, what are you doing? Go boom! And later he says oopa, and I was like, does he mean opa? Is he supposed to be Greek? Like, I don't understand.
Well, the last name Novak, what is that? Is that like Scandinavian?
It's Russian, I think. I mean, that's...
Is that Russian?
I know people with the same last name, and they're they have Russian descent or Polish, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe Scandinavian. Who knows these days?
<That's>
Especially
true.
In 1877. But, here, Doc gives him a thorough exam.
Tell me if it hurts.
No, nothing hurt.
Well, nothing seems to be broken.
See, I tell you, yes.
I'll get my stethoscope. I want to check for possible internal...
No. I am good. We both have much work to do. I must finish baby house, and you must take care of my bed.
Well, at least your wife's a much better patient than you are, Stanley.
But... I never been sick, not one day in whole life.
Come on, Mother.
So that's where there was a fork in the road. Not to say that Doc Baker would have been able to do anything.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's one of those...
Made it more
things.
Comfortable.
It's like,
maybe.
You just don't really know. And I mean, you could make an argument that he, you know, should have been more insistent about doing a more thorough examination. Like, was he potentially being negligent?
Yes, and that's what I think he's taking responsibility. I mean, granted, Stanley is refusing medical service. You know, so he takes his own responsibility there, but at the same time, I think Doc, being Doc, you know, could have taken 5 minutes and done it, and that's the conflict that I think this episode is all about, is that 5 minutes of not taking the next step. But Beth is in her exam, and let's discuss that.
Baby has a good, strong heartbeat.
Oh, and a good, strong kick.
You've been following my instructions?
Oh, of course I have, to the letter.
Good girl.
I carry him with me everywhere. Stanley says it's like my second Bible, only stricter than the Ten Commandments.
You know, Beth, I wasn't at all sure you should try for another baby after losing the first two. But now that you are expecting, I want you to have every chance for this child.
You don't know how I've prayed.
I think I do. But remember, plenty of rest and nothing strenuous.
So at this point, I would think he would say, here's some pills. You know, because that might be his solution to a lot of the problems that people seem to have.
My thought with this scene is, I actually think it is, I don't know, I'm like a little bit surprised that he would have said to her that she should stop trying to have a baby because she lost two. Because I was like, that seems like a little harsh, maybe. Unless there's something about her background we don't know about.
I think if you're, maybe... What I'm kind of guessing is that they took the loss pretty hard. And they don't seem exactly young. You know, maybe they're They're not in their 20s or anything.
They look, I mean, they look middle-aged, right? I mean, they do look a little bit older.
Yes.
But at the same time, I was kind of like, I mean, people do, you know.
Well, now people have, you know, children well into their 40s. But back then, I mean, the surviving children, I mean, everything was so much less back then, from what I understand.
This is true.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, this is a third try. Maybe psychologically she's shown a lot of stress. And I don't know. It must be a very stressful situation to go through. And, yeah, she just seems to be going through it. So,
yeah.
So, but all seems to be okay for the moment. So she's doing fine. Let's see. As Doc is leaving, he runs into these two scraggly looking kids. By the way, there's no Laura in this episode anywhere to be found.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy because when I was watching it, it somehow didn't really occur to me. And then I like was looking at the credit or like, you know, like the credits on the internet. And it's like Laura credit only. And I was like, she's not in the episode. Mm. But Mary is much more involved.
I have a comment about Mary a couple times. You know, it's kind of strange, but so Doc sees Carrie and Mary, and in my opinion, Carrie is a little bit more interesting even in this episode. So I think that's the best line from Carrie in this particular scene.
Moon lady.
Hi, Doctor. Somebody sick out our way?
No, I'm happy to say, Mary. Just visiting one of your neighbors. Mrs. Novak's doing fine.
Oh, that's good news.
That it is. Give my regards to your folks.
Now, if you freeze frame at 11:54-ish, you'll see Mary's hair, Melissa Sue Anderson. Her hair is layered and feathered. It is not very 19th century. So I'm just like, what's going on here? Because I didn't notice it until a future scene. And it's like, she's bangs cut in. And it's just, what's going on here? It's very strange.
So. Yeah, they kind of, I mean, that happens a lot in the Little House universe, right? I mean, how many guest stars that are, you know, men have that really typical 70s.
But this is really for the women to have layered hair. I didn't notice it until this point. And her hair goes so downhill in the future that it's just good to see her stylized at some point.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of, I know like on the Facebook group, I've brought this up before. But yeah, the thing with her hair is like so surprising to me because she goes from having like this nice hair,
like Brady hair,
and like you're saying here, it seems really styled very well. But even like before this, it's like it was just normal hair, you know, like just straight blonde hair. And then like so she goes blind and it gets a little rougher,
drier.
Maybe, yeah. And it's like, I don't know, is it that she's not supposed to be able to, you know, take care of it as well? Maybe.
She's not a character actor, though. I mean, she's not like, well, I need to have my... Like, do you think they really had conversations on the set of Little House on the Prairie about bringing to the table a much more believable aspect of a blind girl? I just don't buy it.
I don't buy it because even if they had that conversation, it's like she's able to tend a garden while she's blind, but she can't like take care of her hair. Like it just doesn't make sense.
Right. I don't see her saying like, I need to drop 20 pounds and, you know, I need to look the part, you know, and I need to look weathered and just don't buy it.
I don't know. It's crazy. Her hair just like, I don't know what happened to it, but it takes a big downturn.
Yeah. It's almost like she had a night of a, like a breakdown night. And she's like, I hate my beautiful hair. And she's staring at herself in the mirror, smoking a cigarette and cutting her hair or something.
Did some bad processing.
You know, if Melissa Sue Anderson had the nerve to actually come on the podcast, she could maybe answer these questions. But until she does, I'm going to guess she had a mental breakdown and cut her hair while staring at herself in the mirror. So
all we can do is speculate until we get answers.
No, I think it was just, maybe she styled her hair too much. And,
that's true.
Who knows? So here we go, the rest of that particular scene.
By the way, could you use a nice sack of fresh apples?
You bet we could.
He's really trying to hawk these apples to everyone. I don't know if you've ever went and bought too many apples in life, and you're like, what the hell am I going to do with like 20 apples?
And I can never get the number of apples right. I either buy too few or too many. It's like I buy apples, and I'm like, I'm all out of apples, and I want one. Or it's like, oh, man, what am I going to do with all these apples?
In my house, it's four apples. at all times.
They're yours.
You sure you have enough yourself?
Quite sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye, Doctor.
Now, this is where Carrie should have been nominated for something. She's funny, it's cute, and, I don't know. For Carrie to have this kind of line is refreshing.
Come on, Carrie. We'll have Ma bake them.
Ma says an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
That's right.
Then why did he give us all those apples?
Well, just to be nice.
I don't think so. I don't think he ever wants to see us again.
Oh, Carrie.
So, it's a halfway decent joke.
And it's like a cute joke, and you can understand what she's saying, too. So, I mean, she did it well.
You know? Yeah, she nailed it. Good job. So we're at dinner at the Kovacs house. I don't see what they're eating, really. But Stanley's acting a little bit weird. Something's wrong. And things are starting to go downhill pretty quickly. So here we go.
What's wrong? What is it? Something's wrong. What's wrong?
I don't know, Beth. Maybe fall.
Look at the doctor.
No, you must not excite. I lie down for a while. I'll be fine tomorrow.
Let me help you.
So he collapses, the whole thing. It's very scary on so many different levels. And, you know, if you live near Charles Ingalls and something bad happens, what do you do? You go to Dr. Ingalls' house, and if you notice, he's actually reading a medical book. No, he's not, but he probably is, though, because he's like, you know, this town needs a doctor 2.0 after seeing...
He's going to do more than just prescribe pills.
Right, so they're lecturing Mary that she's getting too smart for her own good. What is Mary studying that's so hard? Really? I mean, I see what their lesson plans are. Is she really, what is she trying to memorize? There weren't that many presidents up to this point.
That's true. She has a lot easier than we did in school.
Right. Like, yeah. She's a showboating. But but she does have her glasses on. I don't know if this is like maybe, you know what? She has to be the bookworm, right? I have to study and be a teacher one day, Ma. But... So they're all kind of hanging out. I think Pa's actually reading a Bible, and they're just kind of hanging out.
This is no work.
Right into the arms of Charles. Every woman.
What is it?
It's Stanley. He's collapsed and he's unconscious and I can't wake him.
I'll get Dr. Beth.
No, I want to go back to Stanley.
You can't in your condition, Beth. You've got to lie down. I'll go to Stanley. I'll be with him until the doctor comes.
So it's Dr. Ingalls and Nurse Ingalls.
Exactly.
And they really take on this role. Also psychologist, counselor. Farming theory, everything.
Yeah, they real jack of all trades.
Yeah, he really does. So they go to the house and they check in on him. Doc Ingalls is overseeing Doc Baker, and Doc Ingalls has a stethoscope, which I think is pretty much the only medical instrument that he possesses, maybe? Not really sure. Cotton balls, maybe?
Yeah, later on... Well, it's sort of a little inconsistent, but like in the last season, he's able to give Jason glasses. Although Mary couldn't get glasses from him, so I don't know.
He upgraded. They gave him one of these like buy-in type things.
He went to an online class and got certified and was able to do glasses.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about what it took to become a doctor back then, so we will get to that.
Deep shock. Hemorrhaging, bleeding into the abdominal cavity. I'll have to go in and try to drain it off.
So he does have scalpels. We don't see them, but we're assuming. What, Dr. Ingalls?
Doc, he stopped breathing.
Back then, I guess they didn't have any like CPR wasn't something that was talked about. And it wouldn't be for a very long time before CPR was kind of established and such a physical and I guess relatively simple type of thing might have been able to save his life. But he listens and that's it. Like, there's nothing. I was thinking about this, you know, back then your heart stops or you stop breathing. That's it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, nowadays you get adrenaline shots, you get shocked. There was CPR and all types of things. It's amazing mm-hmm. how far we've come in only, you know, 140 years or so.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Doc just, let me listen. He plugs it, you know, just kind of. He's thinking pills are not going to fix this.
Maybe if I just stick him down his throat, he'll come back.
Oh, it's so sad, though. It really, I mean, I'm making light of this, but it really is a sad moment. I mean, this is somebody who genuinely wanted to be a father, has a baby on the way after uh-huh. struggling through having a child. And he seems to be a decent guy. He's not the, you know, the jerk that we, you know, get to see in a number of other episodes who, you know, has the pregnant wife and forces them to cook a roast every 15 minutes and yells.
Well, right. I was thinking about the later, another Doc Baker focused episode with when Dr. Ledoux comes and there's mm-hmm. that pregnant character and her husband is just like a total piece of work.
Yeah. Dr. Ledoux. And yeah, I mean, I miss that
guy.
This
is like the total opposite, total opposite. I mean, the guy is like a nice guy. He's jovial. He's nice. He's excited to have the baby. They seem like a really nice couple. You know, there's no reason to not be sad about this.
Yeah, and Charles and Carolyn like him because their house is kind of just as shabby as theirs, minus their oval rug, which I think is just really ties the whole room together. It's really nice.
You know, Pa should have bought Ma a rug for Christmas.
You know, I'm looking never here. Did. They have two. They have two oval rope rugs. Very nice.
It's the little things, the yeah, little touches.
Very nice. This is Doc coming out of the room.
I can't face Beth.
I'll tell her.
Thank you, Nurse Ingalls. So... It's all sad. The music is so like, oh, man. Beth gets the news. Of course, she's with Mary, who seems to be her 24/7 aide as well. I don't know where Carrie is sometimes. Like, Carrie just kind of vanishes at some point.
Well, and Laura was never around. So, I mean, why is she not?
Well, you can't have two Beths.
Oh, that's true.
It would confuse everything. Which one's my line? You're not the pregnant one. You know.
You're like 14 or 13.
Too many Beths, too many Melissas. Jeez, too many Charlottes. There's just everybody. There's too many of everything on the set. Right,
recycling now. Names. Recycling yes. names.
So, yeah, it's taking a toll on Doc. You know, it's just really sad. You could just see on his face how affected he is. But here's a little bit of Beth taking the news. I'm going to play it just because it is just tragic. And of course, this is something would be every spouse's worst nightmare. Now this next clip is a little bit longer. Charles stops in to check in on his colleague, Doc Baker. and he shares some interesting news.
Hi, Doc.
He's basically just updating Doc Baker.
I checked in on our patient.
Well, he did. You know, Nurse Ingalls is really the one checking in on her.
True.
But between the sawmill, you know, Charles does his own type of practice. He's still studying, really.
Charles, how are you?
That's well, warm. I'm fine. I was wondering how you've been.
What do you mean?
Well, it's been 2 weeks since the funeral. You haven't been out to see Beth.
I've been busy. How is she?
She's doing fine. She's just worried about you not coming out to see her, that's all.
She following my instructions?
Yeah, religiously. Carolyn keeps an eye on her during the day, and then Mary takes over after school, stays with her overnight.
Well, then there's nothing to worry about, is there?
She thinks there is. I wish you'd stop.
I decided it's time I retired.
What are you talking about, retire?
Get into a different line of work. Something more profitable.
I thought I'd hear you talking about profits, Doc.
Yeah, that's trouble. Nobody ever does. Now, I studied for years, Charles. What I got to show for it, a closet full of apples. And sweet potatoes and carrots and pears, peaches. Down here we got some beans. Did you ever try banking a ham, a rabbit, or a turkey?
This doesn't have anything to do with Stanley Novak, does it?
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. I was just finishing up the patient's files there for the new doctor. I've invited a Dr. Asa T. Logan to come here from Philadelphia. He ought to be here in a few days.
Philadelphia? We don't need that trash.
That's city trash.
Why would somebody from Philadelphia take a job in Walnut Grove?
See, I thought that was really weird, too. And the only thing I can think of, as we will see when he arrives, he's very interested in hunting and, you know, outdoor sports like that. Mm-hmm. It seems like maybe he wanted to go there for that more than the doctoring. But like it still seems like a really,
vacation
really
he can get paid for.
Yeah, but it still does seem like a really weird choice.
Now, I was trying to find out how long medical school was back then. And of course, a surgeon would have different background and everything. But Doc Baker is basically saying he went to school for, quote, years, right?
So right.
I couldn't find specifically. But I have this little quick little thing I just wanted to read about one particular doctor who went to a medical school in 1851, which I'm going to guess is around the time he would have gone to university. So I don't know who this person is, but I will vet it. It's, you know, I will put a link to where I found it, but it's just kind of a mention. But I think that the timeline here kind of aligns with Doc Baker. William McCullough Hayford entered medical school as a member of the Cleveland Medical College class of 1851. Which graduated 55 students in the spring of 1852. In those days, medical school lasted one academic year, from autumn until the next spring. Dr. Hayford settled in Hartland, a village within Hartland Township, so it's a small township, in Lincoln County, Michigan, about 1852, and remained there until his death in 1899. So this is your standard small town doctor. I'm thinking that Dr. Hayford kind of aligned kind of similarly. You know, we've learned in the past that Doc Baker doesn't have surgery expertise. He doesn't.
Right.
He says constantly he is not the doctor to do these things. He's a simple small town doctor. So I'm thinking that his, you know, the Doc Baker here went to school for one academic year.
Would there have been any schooling? Like prerequisite, like a prerequisite to the year.
I'm assuming, yeah. I'm assuming on some level, like kind of. Let's just say there were 2 years of you know post grade school,
right?
You know, so some level of university. So I guess if it was a total of 3 years, he could say years, but you know, it's kind of. It's interesting. He talks about it like he was there for 8 or 9 years, like nowadays, but.
Right, like what we would think about. Although that's kind of, I mean, I don't know exactly about the, you know, schooling back then for doctors and how long they went and how that worked.
Well, we know what it was for teachers. It was really just...
Right, exactly.
It was below online tests, you know?
Right. But in, like, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, which you're probably like, stop talking about that show. Cause
it's on my list to watch, trust me.
Yeah. So, well, she talks, I mean, she went to medical school, like a women's medical college, and she never explicitly says, like,
how long she... A woman can't be a doctor. I'm kidding.
I know, right? but she never says explicitly how long she was there. But yeah. Her adopted daughter, Colleen, also goes to medical school. But before she goes to medical school, She goes to Colorado Seminary College for 2 years, and she graduates from there in 2 years. And then from there, she goes to medical school.
So let's
once
just
again,
assume,
they don't go into how long it takes, but yeah.
Can we assume that it's a 2-year type of prerequisite with a 1-year post-grad type of program for medical school? But if you wanted to go into other things like optometry, where they teach you to light a candle, and you know, and they move mirrors in your face, then it would maybe be another year.
Although really, it sounds like it's so little schooling, but I mean, you'd still be a lot more educated than, you know, the general population.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, which is, for the most part, probably most of the people in Hero Township are educated on a very basic grade level.
Exactly.
But definitely more educated, but he's kind of thrown in our faces right now. That's what I say anyway. But maybe you should take off the vest, Doc. Not so fancy. All right, spend some time farming. So here we go.
You're not going to be doctoring. What are you going to be doing?
I bought the old Jenkins place.
At this point, they should have put in the Charles cracking up sound. Like, ah!
I'm going to raise corn. Oh, at least if I lose a crop, I won't be hurting anybody but myself.
It's a good point. It's just, wow. It's pretty depressing.
It's also really weird that he was just talking about profits and then he wants to become like a corn farmer, which, as we've learned many years in Walnut Grove,
is not
the farmers aren't generally rich.
Right. I mean, you're giving away apples to the Ingalls who have, I don't know, 100 acres or something.
Yeah, probably something like that.
I also want to know what kind of money is in Doc Baker's account that he's just, you know, buying a farm.
Well, and there it seems like there are a lot of like vacant farm properties around there. Because in a lot of episodes, they're like, oh, they took up the old so-and-so's place. The
like
old
Kelly, wouldn't place. You like it's to like... go buy a farm right now?
Yes.
You know? It's like you tell your husband, hey, you know what we're going to do later? We're going to become farmers. Farmers and podcasters.
Live off the grid, except for the podcast.
Well, it's like Kim Lair. You know, Kim is down in Florida. She does homesteading, and her and her husband just kind of live on their own, you know, in the backwoods of Florida, doing God knows what.
I've seen pictures of the chickens. They're very cute chickens.
But, you know, it's kind of, it's a different lifestyle. Maybe it's not for everyone. We do, I'm kind of curious to see how Hiram will adapt. But here we go. We meet the new doctor who you said you really like this guy, right?
Oh, he's just a gem.
He's a gem.
It's all there.
Is there much to do around here?
There's plenty of work. Don't worry about that.
Now, I thought that he was going to allude to the women of the town when he mentioned social. That's where I thought his mind was going, because he does have blonde hair. And as we have learned, men with blonde hair in this town are up to no good, Almanzo. And Almanzo was a complete womanizer before Laura, so come on.
Well, not to mention how many of the like one-time guest star guys are blonde, right?
Yeah. I mean, Amanda's brother, Pearly Day.
Yeah.
It's about it, right? Who else? I don't know. Oh, yeah, well, the Bully Boys.
Yeah, the Bully Boys were blonde, weren't they?
Yeah, they were like the children of the town. Actually, he, you know, what's his name? Doc Logan. He kind of looks like a grown-up child of the damned a little bit. His hair is really kind of platinum-y. So I don't know if I trust him.
Miss, speaking of blonde, then, we can't forget about Patrick and Meet Me at the Fair.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, see? They had a thing for blonde guys on the show.
I was referring to the social life.
Oh. Well, there's the usual church socials.
Now, he's taking down the diplomas and swapping them, you know? And it's funny because he takes down Doc's diploma and he replaces it with one that has to be at least 40% smaller. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Some dances, that sort of thing.
How's the hunting?
If you can find the time, there's plenty of game. There's one patient I'm particularly concerned about, Mrs. Novak. I'd like you to drive out there and see her as soon as you can. She's expecting.
It is a really nice rifle that he has, by the way. But and it's a completely period correct rifle. It's kind of a high priced one. He's got a nice case for it. You know, he really just wants to go like pheasant shooting or turkey shooting, and that's right. Yeah,
he put up his diploma and he's like, well, now that that's done, here's my gun. I'm gonna make sure it's working right. Let's go hunting.
Right, put up it's on his little like checklist. Put up diplomas, check gun, throw Doc out.
Remember, Doctor, you're retired.
Of course.
But she's already lost two babies. Thank you, Doctor. I'll keep an eye on her.
Bet you will, jerk.
Yeah, he clearly doesn't care. I mean, he has... Granted, he doesn't know the lady at all, but it's like he has zero sympathy, you know, for the situation.
Well, I think he answered the ad thinking, hey, it's a doctor position in the country. You know, you don't need to hear advice from the country doctor, you know, who's given up on his practice. I kind of understand where he's coming from. Being a graphic designer, I've moved into other graphic designers' offices while they were there, and it's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Not that they were, you know, they were just kind of moved, and it's definitely an uncomfortable type of thing. But I've been in this situation where who's not going to take the care, and meaning me, I'm not going to do the things that I'm supposed to do or the quality that the previous person had done. And of course, that's just not my style. But at this point, I don't hate Dr. Logan. I don't think any of us should. He's moving into a new job. Also, he's in it for the money. I mean, that's another problem I guess maybe people are having with him. He's also well-dressed. And one of the people who notices that he's very well-dressed is Harriet. But we'll get to her meeting with Dr. Logan in just a little bit. Beth is a little concerned. Beth seems to be... She's still in mourning, you know, and she's also going through a pregnancy. I like Beth. What do you think of the actress?
I like her. It's kind of a shame that we never see her again.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I can't think of a time we see her again.
I don't recall her in much of anything, but she was played by Colin Wilcox Paxton, which is just a mouthful, right? And she was in Jaws 2. She was in the original To Kill a Mockingbird. We've seen her in a number of different things, but I've never seen her in anything else. I liked her as an actress. I thought that she was, she would have been a good repeating character on Little House on the Prairie.
Well, and this is kind of like classic Little House, where they're all close to her in this episode. We've never seen her before.
Right.
They're close enough that Ma is like her daytime attendant and Mary's spending the night there. They're very involved with her life, but then it's like we never see her again.
Yeah, I wish that they would have had more of a community, but maybe that would have cost a lot more and it would have been a lot more script writing.
Oh, I'm sure that it would have. Yeah.
But here we go. That. We have her confronting Doc on the streets of Walnut Grove. I mean, it's getting thrown down right here, right in front of the bridge. And I'm sorry, but everyone has to freeze frame at this point. If you have the DVD or anything, it's about the 23-minute mark. Mary has the most sourpuss face I've ever seen in my whole life. I've screenshot
yes.
it. Do you see? It's like, I'm so mad. And it's like, like, do you have to go to the bathroom? Like that, like my kid has that face. Like, why don't you go up to the bathroom?
She even does like, she has that face and she does the like up down with her eyes, like glaring at Doc Baker. It's like, wow.
She is ready to yell about Jesus and God and ciphering. She's mad at this point.
Just also, I mean, in this season, though, is when we get the side of Mary a lot more, right? In these roles that she's playing.
I don't know. It's just the, the RBF, the resting bitch face. I don't know. It's crazy.
How are you feeling, Beth?
Fine. I came to see you.
You,
I want to do the timeline, though. I want to know what Melissa Gilbert was up to at this point, because she had to have been doing something else.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering that, too, why she wasn't in this episode, if there was a conflict. I mean, I can't imagine they would just not have her in one for a good reason.
Yeah, I mean, she is playing Laura Ingalls Wilder.
She is half pint.
Yes, you are half pint.
You shouldn't have run into town.
What do they call half pint over in Europe and other in different? You know, because it's a pint. Like, do you call it, like, you know, 4 ounces? Cup? I don't know. No, not. It wouldn't be ounces, like milliliters or something.
Doesn't matter. This late.
Sorry.
Stage.
You didn't come to see me.
Didn't Charles Ingalls tell you? I retired.
Yes, he told me. But I thought you'd wait till after I had my baby.
The new doctor will take care of you?
I don't want a new doctor.
Well, Dr. Logan's the only doctor in town now, Beth. You have to see him.
All right. If you say to, I've always done just what you said. I'll go see him.
You'll be fine, Beth. Fine.
Actually, a half pint is actually, it's cuter. It's 0.0002 cubic meter. Isn't that sweeter? That's cuter. It's better than
that's
half
what
pint.
Paul should have called her.
Yeah, 0.02 cubic meter. Aw. So yeah, I think Doc is conflicted. He's just, you know, poor guy. We all love Doc, right?
I feel really bad for him because just losing a patient anyway, I'm sure is really hard to deal with, and especially given the circumstances.
But to have the pressure of the wife being in a sensitive medical condition, maybe that's adding to the entire mix. And I'm going to assume that, you know, she lost the babies under his care. That's another thing.
So maybe it's been like a years long building up to this point kind of thing.
From what I understand, there was a deleted scene where he says, here's some pills. But
of course.
He's constantly just trying to give out these pills. It's not the answer.
Have you tried morphine?
Have you tried it? It's just a drink. Take a sip of this. You'll love it. So we're at the doctor's office, and Dr. Logan is... This is where it reminded me of me moving into somebody's office, where I'm like, oh, Jesus. You know, it's like so filthy and disgusting, so cluttered. Like just emptying out this person's drawer, and he walks in while I was doing it. So that was a very uncomfortable type of thing. And I just handed him the box of all of his stuff, and I was like, oh, I thought you moved out already.
See you later.
Still not friends with this guy. Still not friends.
Junk.
Dr. Logan, is the baby all right?
Everything seems to be normal, Mrs. Novak. Just remember, you're not the first woman to have a child.
Ouch.
I know. Yikes. See, I've lost two babies.
Dr. Baker told me. Rotten apples. This place is more like a barn than a doctor's office.
No, it's not really sanitary to have rotting fruit in the doctor's office. So
well,
maybe he needed this
there?
Break.
I don't know.
What?
Why? I mean, how long were they sitting there? I mean, did Doc Baker leave him there? Because, like, oh, maybe he'd like some apples. I don't know why he'd do that. But then they just sat there for a week and now they're rotten. But I think the better question is, why is he doing this while Mrs. Novak is there? Oh. I mean, she comes for, like, a checkup and then he's all like, oh, look at all this crap.
Well, if we're going to analyze it from a business standpoint, her appointment's over, really, right?
Okay.
I'm just saying it's kind of like an urgent care type of situation.
I also wonder, those bottles that he's throwing away with the liquid, what is in those bottles?
You don't want to know.
Qualifies them as junk.
Yeah, right. They're not labeled. They don't appear to be labeled. But there's one that's like, looks like egg yolk. What is
there's one that's like green. It's like a dark green liquid. What is that?
Elixir. and what I'm playing here is really a visual thing, but Mrs. Kovac is approaching Dr. Logan. The concern is really on her face. And as somebody who kind of went through having a bad doctor when my wife was pregnant, and changing doctors because like she was just a complete jerk, it's, you really need to have somebody who is a little bit more caring at this point, I think. So I always tell people, learning a lesson from that, if you're not 100% comfortable with your doctor, like, and you can afford to, really just try to find a different one, even if it's not perfect. You know,
why take on the stress if you don't have to?
And that was exactly it.
Dr. Logan.
What? I was waiting for him to scream. Like, well, you're still here. I'm going to have to bill you for this time.
When should I see you again?
Looks to me like it won't be long now, Mrs. Novak. Just let me know when your time comes.
See, this is not a modern doctor because, you know, modern doctors are like, all right, you should come in every 3 weeks so I can bill you. And this is not a modern doctor. This is a guy who does not need the money.
Shouldn't I see you before then? I'd feel better.
Mrs. Novak, I treat patients. I do not hold their hands. Oh, good day.
I said good day. So in the background, we see he is a stuffed owl. It just immediately makes me dislike him at this point. It's like a snow owl. And he has all these, you know, he is, I think, a stuffed elk head or a deer. I don't know what that, a moose head maybe. And he even put up his shingle. That's another thing. When Doc was leaving, he tore down his shingle. And he, this is what's weird. He tears it down and then just throws it on the ground. And I'm thinking, somebody's going to step on that. And you guys don't have tetanus shots yet.
True.
You know, we know the episode with Ma. You know, we know what could happen. So that's just irresponsible on Doc Baker's part.
And what are they going to do when they find it anyway? Like, oh, look, it's Doc Baker's shingle.
Let's collect it.
Let's sell it on eBay.
Right. Maybe they'll, they'll sell it on eBay. All right. So, but yeah, here's the, and Asa is such a weird name. I kept reading it. I'm like, does it mean something? Or like ass hat maybe? And maybe if you put ass hat Logan, but no, it's just, Asa T. Logan. It's quite a name.
And it just seems to come and go. It's like flashes, as it were.
They go really fast past his diploma or degree, and I cannot see where it's from. So that really bugged me.
I get a chill 1 minute, and then I come all over warm the next. Dr. Baker certainly didn't seem to be able to give me anything that would work. And actually, I don't think that he knew what it was that I have.
Mrs. Olson, your symptoms suggest to me that you have a complaint common to ladies of your obvious breeding and background.
Well, I knew that you'd understand, Doctor.
So it's interesting that she's basically there crap-talking Doc Baker, right? Now, what do you think is wrong with her?
I think that she maybe is a hypochondriac since, you know, Nell's indicated that there's kind of always something wrong with her, or maybe she just wants the attention. I think at this time there was kind of the thing with, you know, she talks about being like high bred and having, you know, stuff that high bred people get. You know, I think that there were like a certain set of conditions that were ascribed to, you know, so-called hybrid women back then, like hysteria being one of them, although they never touched that here. But
no, I think it's, you know, reading a bit about it, I thought it was a fissure of the ductus venosus, which is what he determines that she has, which sounds really fancy.
It does.
But yeah, she's, I couldn't agree more. She is, I don't even think it's a hypochondriac type thing. I think it's, I want the attention of someone, anyone. And plus, this is a young man, new doctor. I have to introduce myself. The only person who is part of the Society of Walnut Grove.
Well, right. I mean, he comes from a city, so she assumes he's like a well-bred person. She needs to be in with this guy.
Yeah, not a simple country doctor.
But, I could also see her wanting to seek out some kind of diagnosis to use as an excuse to get out of things. I could totally see her doing that, yeah. You know? Oh, Nels, I can't help you lift the stuff in the store because Dr.
busy.
Logan says I have blah, blah, blah.
But I'm taking my medicine, which closes the fissures and regulates the pain. So,
ah,
huh?
No.
Ah?
Upon further examination, Mrs. Olson, there is no doubt in my mind you have a small fissure of the ductus venosus.
A fissure of the ductus venosus? Well, I don't think anyone in Walnut Grove has ever had that.
Small wonder. It's very rare.
But is it serious?
No. Not to worry, Mrs. Olson. With the proper medication, you can live pain-free for the next 60 years.
Oh. 60 years.
It's a long time to be drunk.
It is a long time to be drunk. So he basically hawks his medicine, which turns out to be pretty awesome and pricey. It's a dollar, which is equivalent to about $25 in today's money. And we learn that, let's see, let me get to, here he is kind of selling it to her right after that diagnosis.
The fissures and opens the pores, annihilates pain, and
just annihilates
regulates the most.
Did he say annihilate?
He says annihilates pain.
Sensitive system. But of course it is not cheap.
He's not handsome enough for this, you know, moment. They should have had a super handsome doctor come in, I think. And Harriet should have, because it seems as though she's really amazed by a number of things about this man. The stuff, all these new terms that she's never heard of, this magical medicine. And she seems to be enamored a little bit with him. A little bit.
Well, he totally knows how to play her, though. I mean, he knows what she wants to hear, and he's playing up to that, which is like the opposite of what Doc Baker did.
Total snake oil, by the way. I mean, this is terrible, but here we go. And also keep in mind that Harriet is part of the Women's Temperance League, which,
yes,
you know, and this, you know, she, not just a part, isn't she the leader of the Women's Temperance League?
I believe she is, yes. Although, I believe we do see Niles take a nip here and there. I can't place the episodes off the top of my head, but I see him drink on occasion.
I've said it in the past, there's more alcohol on Little House on the Prairie than I remember when I was a kid.
A number of times. Completely agree with that. It's actually really surprising watching it as an adult because I thought of it as a dry show, basically. And now I'm like, wow, there's a lot more alcohol than I realized.
Yeah.
You know, beyond just Mr. Edwards drinking, but Jonathan Garvey likes to drink. We see Nels drink from time to time.
And
There's kind of like an undercurrent of booze flowing. It's never, no, I shouldn't say it's never the focus. There are a few episodes that deal with alcoholism, but I mean, it's not really like a focus of the show, but it's there if you're.
Now the temperance movement is something that, of course, I guess crescendoed when Prohibition was established in the early part of the 20th century. And the thing, what I've read about the Prohibition and alcohol consumption from this period of time was that people drank a lot more than even they drink now.
Totally. It was actually really, really common for people to drink throughout the day. I mean, people would even drink with breakfast. Although generally what they were drinking a lot of times tended to be a little bit weaker than like, you know, what we would go and buy at the liquor store nowadays or whatever. I mean, it's not like they were necessarily like loaded all the time, but it was just, they were just drinking.
But they were also using things like beer, as a regular, like you said, a regular casual drink because it was also clean. You know, the fermentation process, of course, would kill any type of harmful bacteria or any type of pathogens. So when you're drinking well water that has a dead horse 3 miles away, you know, and the water's going through the corpse, you know, you can really get sick very easily from local water. So, mm-hmm. Alcohol was, of course, in, you know, a good way of just getting your fluids. Same thing with coffee. I mean, you would be boiling it, of course, and just water. I think water is one of those things that we really take for granted these days. And I recently put a whole house filter in my house, and even that, a comparison of my water from before to now, is just tremendous. It's something that, like I said, we all kind of take for granted, but thankfully we live in a time of clean water. That's all.
In a place too, generally.
Yeah. But here we go. He's going to basically finish up the sale here.
But then what price do you put on your life, Mrs. Olson?
Oh, I didn't want to, I'm sorry. I brought up the temperance thing. So people were drinking tons and tons of alcohol. Like, we're talking, if somebody went to go drink, they were drinking gallons of alcohol. And after the Prohibition, people just drank less. I don't know. It was just something that, it broke this crazy habit that existed. And although alcoholism is still something that's completely rampant, it's not nearly as, I guess, in practice as it was in the 19th century and prior. So, but like you said, also alcohol does tend, like liquors and everything do tend to be, of course, stronger, but they had liquors back then. It was with stills and whiskeys and all of this stuff.
And Mr. Edwards made his own.
Yeah, and as we'll learn, this is a very strong elixir that Harriet's about to pay $25 for. I don't know, what is this, 10 ounces? Not even? A pint.
What? And I mean, she goes through multiple, well, as we'll see, I don't want to spoil it, but it's like, she opens up a second bottle even. It's like, yeah. So she bought more than one bottle from this guy and she's using it all in one night. I mean.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. Oh, let loose.
I don't know. I'll take it.
$1.
How much should I take, doctor?
In your case, Mrs. Olson, I would recommend that you take just as much as you need to feel good.
So that is one of the scariest things to hear. And the next scene, of course, is the way we open the show.
Give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play.
So Nels is coming down to just kind of, what is going on here? She's in the parlor. She's crocheting.
Yeah, she's drunkenly knitting something.
And the skies are not cloudy.
About time for bed, isn't it?
Yeah, you devil.
I mean, it is late, Harriet.
No, it's never too late. It's never too late.
Well, I've never seen you so happy in a long time.
So she's done it before.
Yeah, this is a Harriet that we've seen before. At least twice.
I haven't felt so good in a long time. And it's all thanks to Dr. Logan. Well, that Dr. Baker is a terrible doctor. Oh, of course, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't appreciate Dr. Logan, who is a man of culture.
This is the real Harriet, by the way. This is the Harriet who talks with her mouth full and talks crap about people and
it's, oh, yeah, totally.
Gossip. This is just, you know, basically letting her hair down. And
just unfiltered Harriet right here.
Nels picks up the bottle and he's looking at it and he's like, it's 90 proof. that, of course, you know, is more than like a vodka, you know, that means, I forget what the whole thing is. I forget what the percentage of alcohol to, other things are, but that's a pretty, pretty strong, you know, thing. One thing I really regret is we never get to see Harriet the next day. which I just would have loved to. It's a couple things missing from this episode.
I thought that too. We needed a follow up.
Yeah, like the ice pack
like a
on the head.
Harriet.
Or, right. Yeah, like go to the ice house and get me more ice for my head. We do learn that Doc is really not so great at farming. He's really struggling.
Straight now.
He's trying to break the land, I guess, or whatever you call that, where you get it ready for planting corn.
Is it plowing?
It's just weird. Like, I'll go and see cornfields. I'm sure you've seen cornfields. That's a lot of work.
You
know?
Yeah.
Farmers, you don't just become a farmer, Kelly. I know you think it's easy. You're thinking like, you know what? Maybe I will buy that farm.
The thing that Doc Baker needs to understand is that you don't just become anything overnight unless you're Charles Ingalls.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. One thing we learn is the backbone to any good farmer is having girls who know how to farm. So here's Mary kind of coming over to check in on things with Carrie.
Hi, Dr. Baker. Pa sent us over to see if you needed any help.
No thanks, Mary. I'm doing just fine.
Well, if you want my honest opinion, you're not.
Yikes.
And if you want mine, you're absolutely right. I can't seem to get those horses to go in a straight line.
Do you want me to show you how?
I'd sure appreciate it.
So you can have the little pretty girl show you how to farm. It's just the weirdest thing of all time.
Carrie's back.
Yeah, Carrie's back, no lined, but it's all right. She's looks like she lost a tooth since last scene.
That's why she wasn't at the house when it all went down.
Mary, of course, is crap-talking the doctor, even there's really no reason to crap-talk him at this point, except they don't like him. So it's a little bit of like, well, what's wrong with Dr. Logan? And this is the scene where I noticed Mary's hair. I'm like, wait, are those bangs?
Not to mention, she's wearing like this headband, and I see her wear this headband thing. Kind of a lot. It's like this plastic-looking headband.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems very much like a 70s and onward accessory. I haven't actually tried to determine when plastic headbands were first available, but I have to believe it wasn't common at this time,
They might have leather ones.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, something to hold your hair back, sure. Yeah. But, like, that type of plasticky one, I mean, it just seems...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's kind of, even her buttons look like they're plastic. So. What's going on here, Mary, with your white collar?
What's wrong with Dr. Logan?
Well, he doesn't care about folks the way you do. I mean, people could always count on you.
Now, this is also a Mary who is going through or has gone through puberty, right? Mm-hmm. And if she has a question about the changes in her body, she now has to go to this complete stranger, you know. But maybe they kept that at home back then. That was like something for Ma to deal with. But if there was a problem, I don't know.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That Dr. Logan's out of his office more than he's in, and then he doesn't even leave a note where he's at.
And it creeps me out.
Who needed treatment, didn't get it.
Well, Carrie, for instance.
Carrie? What's the matter with Carrie?
It's like, look at her.
Have you heard her talk?
She's a moron. But yeah, bottom line is Mary's a filthy liar. She says that she's having problems in her stomach. And, but yeah, the bottom line is there's just a liar. And Doc calls her out a little bit on it and just basically lays down the truth.
Mary, you're going to have to understand something. You and everybody else. I've retired. Now, I may be the worst farmer in the country, but that's all I am. Thanks for the farming lesson.
Here's some pills. So that's the thing is The next scene we get Jeb. Jeb is starting to feel the itch. he's starting to try to falsify prescriptions.
Needs a refill.
He needs a fix. And it's just really kind of interesting. He should have gone through the garbage because I bet you there was a container of those pills.
Oh, right. That the guy when he threw out everything in his office. Yeah.
And this is again on the bridge in front of Hansen's lumber. Hansen lumber. Well, you don't see Mr. Hansen either. We don't see the sawmill running. There's so many things not going on.
They're on vacation.
Yeah. You know, I will say, though, that Dr. Logan has a really cool outfit. He really knows how to dress. He's got, riding boots on, and his pants are tucked into the boots. He's got these cool kind of black gloves on. The guy knows how to, carry himself.
A little velvety collar, pretty cool hat. Yeah.
He's a little bit fancy for the time.
He's like the fashion icon of Walnut Grove right here.
He would make a good son of the Olsons or cousin or something.
It's like probably the son that Harriet wants to have.
A doctor.
I come from the pills.
I'm sorry, Mr. Haney. I'm closed.
Well, I need them pills, Doc.
He was also wearing an ascot. It's like you're very fancy to be wearing an ascot in Walnut Grove. Like, you have a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
Like, who are you wearing this for? Like, who are you trying to impress? Jeb? Oh, poor Jeb. I can't believe you're attacking him so much.
I'm fresh out, and I got the miseries real bad.
Did you bring the money?
No. But I got this rooster. Make a nice stew.
As I told you last week, Mr. Haney, I run a strictly cash and carry practice. No credit, no crops, and no chickens.
But Doc Baker always took things in trade.
I am not Dr. Baker.
Is that a rooster? Do you really use a rooster for... Yeah, I guess you use a rooster for chicken. I know nothing about these things.
I mean, I suppose you could. I don't know if it's really normal. But I was just thinking that by paying the doctor with the chicken or rooster or whatever, it can make a nice stew. So it's like you're giving him another job. Now he has to
Feed the thing too, right?
He has to butcher it and,
keep it somewhere. You know, you feed something, it's going to poop. So, I don't know. But I feel bad for Jeb. He's in some serious pain. He was throwing in a free cage, so.
Yeah, that's true.
At this point, we see Mary living with Beth at this point. It's like they're best roomies. And out of nowhere, Beth goes into labor. So Mary jumps on the wagon. I mean, how old is she here? 13?
What is it? Season 4? 13, 14?
Yeah. But, she knows how to hitch the wagon, and she's really independent. Like you said, maybe they were trying to do something a little bit with her character.
Well, actually, she must be 14 or 15, right? Because when she goes blind, isn't she 15? She goes blind at the end of this season.
Mm. Yeah, so
beginning of season 5, she turns 16. So she's probably 15.
Mm. So she goes to the doctor's office. He's not there. So he runs to Mrs. Whipple, and I was waiting for her to say, "Shut up, I'm trying to ask you a question."
Mrs. Whipple?
Hmm?
Oh, Mary. No mail for the Ingalls.
Shut up, you old biddy.
Dr. Logan's office is locked. I've been all over looking for him.
By the way, Mary's nails are very nicely done.
I've noticed that before. It's like way too nice for... I mean, where'd she get nails like that? Come on. They don't have a salon.
It's not natural.
You know where he is? He's probably out again shooting innocent animals.
Maybe they do have a salon, but do you think it would be white people or Asians running the nail salon in Walnut Grove? I don't know. But I do know that those nails... You know what I bet? I bet you we could figure out something along the lines with awards. Even though I don't think it was until the following year that she would be nominated for anything. I'm going to bet... Her hair is kind of done, all this kind of stuff. We could probably put in line with the filming of this episode, in line with something.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of maybe a cast party or something big. I'm going to find out. And I want to know where Melissa Gilbert is. Jeez. But, all right. So, basically, he's nowhere to be found.
Do you know what time we'll be back?
Doesn't confide in me, Dee, any more than anyone else. What's wrong?
It's Mrs. Novak. She's gone to labor. Please tell Dr. Logan to stop by as soon as he shows up.
He's too busy picking out his ascots for the week.
His hunting ascots.
it's like you're really not aware of that thing, buddy. Nurse Ingalls is with Beth, and she's screaming, and it's like, try to scream, it might make you feel better, and we'll call it cheers of joy. And she's trying to lighten the mood, but that nobody can find Doc Logan, or Dr. Logan, rather. So, and Ma's starting to get a little bit like, what the hell's going on in this town?
Dr. Logan?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I couldn't find him, Ma.
I don't understand that man. Doesn't he care?
Only about himself.
Caroline!
I was waiting for a not now, Mary. Now's not the time to talk bad about people. It's a woman about to die in here. My God. What a stressful situation, right? I mean, it's... Yeah. But yeah, they can't find Dr. Logan, so they're going to figure out what to do next. By the way, where's Carrie?
Something... I don't know. See, once again, she's gone. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe the idea is that maybe Laura is at home with her right now, and that's why they're not there.
That's what I was thinking, but, you know, I don't know. She's probably playing in an air shaft or something. Jumping over the hole.
Yeah. It's also unclear to me if there actually is something wrong with Beth, like if it actually is going badly or if she is just afraid that it's going to go badly.
He makes one comment during the push that I thought was kind of strange. I've never heard of, but I'll bring that up in a minute.
Carolyn, something's wrong. I don't know, but all of a sudden I'm afraid. I need Dr. Baker. Get Dr. Baker. I need help.
All right. So they go to get Doc Baker, and it's kind of an interesting thing. If you notice, Doc Baker is putting hay in for the horse to eat, and mm-hmm. I swear it looks like he's about to poke the poor horse right in the face with that pitchfork.
Well, as we've established, she's not a good farmer.
But even in real life, like, holy moly. That's a real horse, sir.
Doc.
It's a nice barn, actually. I mean, I could hang out in a barn like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as usual, nicer than anything the Ingalls have.
He's he is putting hay in with the horse. If you look in the background really closely, you'll see an Amazon Prime delivery for hay. That's where it came from.
Beth's close to giving birth.
What?
The Amazon Prime delivery wagon.
Yeah, like, well, actually, he had to have it droned in because they're not anywhere near one of the warehouses. Come on, Kelly. It's 1877.
She's having a hard time. She's calling for you.
She's Dr. Logan's patient.
We can't find him.
Who's with her?
Carolyn.
Then she's in good hands.
Carolyn's no doctor. Beth thinks there's something wrong. She's afraid.
Can't you understand?
Uh-oh.
I'm not a doctor anymore.
Now, this is such a, like, brr, you know, like, take me seriously here. And it's very surprising to see him, even for a moment, not help somebody. So I think this is the point where we're starting to see a change in Doc. And it could have kept going. But
well, if you're not a doctor, what are you?
Oh, sorry, what?
I was just going to say that, you know, we've seen... in some other episodes when people have like these life events that just totally make them into like a different person. And he kind of almost seems like he's on this path right now, just, you know, dealing with the guilt, and he just is not functioning.
I agree.
In a way that's normal for him.
Yeah.
You're not a farmer. We know that.
I'm the man who let Stanley Kovac die.
Oh, come on, Doc. Stanley's dying wasn't your fault. You didn't have the time or the equipment to do anything.
A better doctor would have saved him.
All right. You're not a miracle worker.
So you're really attacking this guy. You're like, you're not a good farmer. You're not a good doctor. But we need your help.
I mean, I take it a little bit more positively than that.
No, I am kidding.
Yeah. No, I really think that this is like one of Pa's best like monologues.
I thought he was going to punch him.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you notice, though, he did unbutton a button. So at least, you know, you get a little bit of skin.
Yeah.
On Michael Landon.
Maybe you're not even the best doctor in the world, but she doesn't need the best doctor in the world. She needs you.
What do you mean I'm not the best doctor in the world?
because I am Charles.
I think a lot of people will agree with that comment in the coming seasons.
She needs somebody she can believe in. Somebody she believes cares about what happens to her and her baby.
I'm sorry.
Well, you can be sorry tomorrow. Today, your responsibility is taking care of Beth. And you're going to do it, Doc. She's your patient. You started with her, and you're going to finish. I don't care if it's just your being there. Doc, this is the most important moment in her life.
I'll get my bag.
Yeah, so he's going to get his bag, and he's going to kind of swoop in and check on things. He shows up at Beth's. She's immediately grateful, and everybody's really happy about it.
Oh, I knew you'd come. I knew you would. It's going to be all right now.
Well, I guess we both have a job to do.
Let's start with these pills.
Yeah.
So gives her a handful of pills. Mary is really nervous. Like, it's, you know, you could see. I'm surprised this didn't become a more of a moment. I mean, I guess if we had the time, she could have said, I'm scared of having a baby, Pa, you know, that type of thing or something. But definitely, I would imagine a young girl hearing this going on is terrifying, you know, to even the premise of having a child.
Just knowing, I mean, how common it was to die in childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a really scary. It could be a really scary thing. It is really scary.
Well, it's one of the most physical things that a woman, that anybody, any person can go through. And it's an extremely dangerous situation, especially back then.
Yeah.
Which is why we are all asking, where is Dr. Logan? And that's where, you know, it's kind of crazy that we don't get resolution there. Spoiler alert. But don't worry, because Mary is still prepared to complain. She always has a complaint up her sleeve.
Pa, is she ever going to have that baby?
I want to go home and have some cornbread that Ma bought. I mean, that me.
Sometimes the labor goes quick, sometimes it doesn't.
Charles!
So the baby is a boy. We have a boy. We have, it didn't go that slow. I mean, for the most part, went pretty quickly. I mean, that we know of. It could have been the next day for all we know, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's been daylight the whole time, but yeah. I guess.
And we got a baby, relatively newborn. I don't know. This baby is probably a couple weeks old, but they somehow snatched up somebody's baby and threw it in a quilt of some sort. And
at least it's an actual baby. I mean, you know, like new-ish, like it's not.
Yeah, it's not like Carrie.
I'd like you to meet Stanley Novak Jr.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Novak.
Very sweet. Name him after the father, of course.
Yeah.
Something. We see a new doc. We see him kind of reinvigorated. He's done. He kind of is remembering right there on the spot why he became a doctor, and he loves doing it. He kind of sucks as a farmer. He's tried it for 3 days. Now I don't know how he's going to unload that farm, but it's a nice little moment between Charles and Doc here, as also Dr. Ingalls, you know, the psychologist aspect of him, comes and discusses with Doc.
Better be on my way. Ladies are in full command now.
Hey, your patient's fine. How's the doctor doing?
Much better.
What are you going to do now?
Well, first, I'm going to throw that so-called doctor out of my office. And second, I'm going to return that blasted hair you loaned me.
All right, I'll pick it up tomorrow.
Much obliged, Charles.
Sweeping music.
You're welcome, Doc.
You're welcome, Doc. Only, and he's the only person who can hear him say, "You're welcome, Doc."
Yeah, takes a lot of credit, but
yeah. So, pretty awesome episode. But that's it. That's the end.
Yeah.
Sorry to say that.
I really would. I said, where would Juana Grove be without Charles holding the town together the way he does?
You know, if you want an example of what how towns are without Charles Ingalls, look at every other town.
That's
crap. It's garbage everywhere.
Sleepy Eye is a mess.
Yeah, a mess. Mankato, come on. What's that fake town? There's a fake town out there.
Winoka?
Yeah, Winoka. Winoka, come on. It's not even real.
I would have loved to have had a scene in this episode where we see Dr. Baker throw Dr. Logan out of the office.
God. I would love, it would take 2 minutes. It would take 30 seconds.
Yeah. Give us some closure.
Dr. Logan doesn't even show up, which is amazing to me.
Do you think he skipped town?
No.
Where is he?
Maybe he got killed. Maybe, you know, it's possible.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like the real follow-up that they didn't want to show. They're all like, oh, no, we feel terrible. We assume the worst. And really, he was killed by a bear.
Or he's put in a... maybe he's in one of those... when Laura was abducted by that woman in My Ellen. Maybe he was in the root cellar, you know. Be kind of interesting if all of a sudden there's all these doctors that vanished from Walnut Grove.
Or maybe Charles Ingalls had a hand in this and he manipulated the situation.
See, I like that.
So that he's not available and Doc Baker has to come back. And that is why he says, you're welcome, doctor.
Or Nels. Nels, you know, we're not looking at him. Nels has access. You know, he's got the money. He could step in there and say, I want to talk about buying a case of your elixir. And next thing you know, like, why don't you try some of this? He gets them all liquored up, takes them on a little bit of a fishing trip. Never hear from him again.
Yeah, you never know.
Now he doesn't have to pay him. He gets free elixir. And, you know, they might be the same size, actually. You know, you look at Nels and Doc Logan. You could probably wear that ascot.
Oh, he's going to inherit the whole collection. Well, good for him.
Let's be real here. If you look at everyone in town, Nels is easily the best dressed.
Oh, totally.
It might be because, you know.
I think the only man who's regularly wearing, you know, like a vest and a jacket, like a suit.
Those aren't cheap, even in wholesale.
Yeah.
Kelly,
Pa has a suit. He hardly ever wears it, but he has one.
He has a couple, I think. He has a couple nice outfits.
Yeah.
But Kelly, I want to thank you so much for getting together. Do you have anything, anything on the horizon? I know that you're working on some handcrafted goods. I'd love you to talk about a little bit.
Oh, sure. I started
Little House in the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. There'll probably be some non-Little House things that work in, but that'll kind of be the focus of it. Anyway, I have an Etsy shop and a corresponding Facebook page. It's called Handcraft Little House. And I'm making some Little House on the Prairie-inspired Christmas ornaments. If anyone's inclined to check it out, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a really sweet idea. They're really, really, they're very quaint and they're very sweet. And I think any Little House on the Prairie fan would really love to have that on their Christmas tree or Hanukkah bush or whatever you have in front of you this coming
whatever
holiday
they have
season.
To decorate. Yeah.
Yeah, you can even hang it from your car, from your mirror.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But move over air freshener.
But I'll put a link to your Etsy shop and everything else in the show notes. And I don't know, I have to thank you for keeping the legacy alive with that type of stuff. All of these things, it's just important to make sure that everybody realizes that even though Little House on the Prairie is known to be a pretty corny show, it's highly entertaining, and I think that it resonates with people, especially these days, you know?
Oh, definitely.
And even this show, this particular episode, I mean, it's definitely resonates, and it's a very sweet episode. But Kelly, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and review this episode.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.